What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show tonight. We're so glad that you guys are jumping on here with us. Welcome to Shane Warne Live, where occasionally we try to put the smackdown on stupid. And so we're really glad that you are joining us tonight. We've got a great show for you. There's a lot to talk about. There's so much to talk about right now. I don't even know what to really address first. But you could help us right now as you're logging in to share the feed so that we can get as many people on here as possible. And as always, our super chat is open tonight so that you can express your concerns, give us your comments, and also ask any questions that you would like to ask. We have a very special guest with us tonight, but before I introduce him, let me say thank you to Noah Erickson, my sidekick, who's sitting over here to my right, working buttons feverishly.
I was pushing buttons on the other computer at that moment as you were introducing me. But so the buttons have been pushed. We're good. We're ready for an awesome show. Yeah. I'm excited.
Well, hopefully it won't be any buttons that fire bombs over into Poland, right? Or missiles over into Poland.
Well, then they can argue about where those missiles came from and yeah, to the point where I don't believe either of them.
So, yeah, exactly. And then tonight we're joined by a very dear friend who you are going to really have a good time getting to know tonight. And I'm very excited to have him. He has been close to me for a long time, and I consider him one of the best friends on the planet. If you're going to go to war with anybody, you need this guy standing next to you or in a foxhole with you. But we're here also here tonight as Pastor Brian Gibson from the famous His Church Network all across Kentucky, Texas, wherever.
Worldwide. We're going worldwide soon. Kentucky and Texas right now.
Yeah.
It's an honor to be here. All I want to say is that I did not fire those missiles into Poland. So with somebody else, Pastor Shane. I don't think we'll ever know where those missiles came from.
Exactly.
Would be my guess.
Well, guys, we got a great show. You know, we're going to allow everybody to jump in here in just a moment and make any comments they want. But I'm really interested to talk to Pastor Brian and let you get to know a little bit about him. And then, Pastor Brian, what I want us to do tonight is, first of all, give an introduction about you, tell a little bit of your story, and then the other thing I want to do is start talking about some of the headlines that are out right now. And hopefully, before we get through, make a little prediction where you see things going, and how does the church play into that. So I want to kick us off tonight by starting with a little bit of Pastor Brian's story. He's a great pastor, a great preacher. For those of you who live in the Cookeville area, the Upper Cumberland area, he's going to be preaching at the Bend on this coming Sunday morning. So he's a great pastor. But whenever the pandemic was set in, and they were shutting down churches, Pastor Brian got on the front line of things and made a stand. And that's really what I'm going to say and let him tell you the rest of the story. He made a stand. That stand has cost him a tremendous amount over the last couple of years, which hopefully he can tell you a little bit about that. So, Pastor Brian, tell him a little bit of the story. You know, we're just going to take for granted you're a great pastor, and they can look you up online and watch his messages. I would encourage you to do that. But pandemic sets in. How did you get involved in that, and what happened?
Yeah, it's an honor to be here with you guys, to be with Pastor Shane. I love him. I think he's one of the finest preachers of the gospel in America. And if I was in this area, I would be at your church. So,
thank you.
I love you. He's helped me tremendously. And so plandemic comes in, and that is the right title. We didn't have a pandemic. We did have a plandemic. And it came after our liberties, especially our religious liberties and our freedoms, our public assembly, our thought, our speech. Everything's up on the line right now.
Right.
So you notice I had churches that I pastored both in Texas and in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So we have two different governors, right? We had Abbott, who didn't handle the pandemic early very well at all, but turned it around. So, you know, I'm thankful he turned it around. We have Beshear in Kentucky, who one of the worst governors of any governor that has ever governed anything. The man couldn't govern a hot dog stand. If you want to know what I really think, I'll tell you later. But every night he gets on the news or a fireside chat, and he talks about pretty much how wicked and evil the churches are, that we're killing grandma, we're gathering together, we're hurting people, and we're hurting everybody. And you know, it's this narrative that the virus is a very religious virus. Mm-hmm. Doesn't go to strip joints, doesn't go to, you know, liquor stores, doesn't go to a lot of different places.
Those are essential.
Those are essential, yeah. Right? Your pot place is essential. But it definitely attends church and synagogue and the school system. So we got to close all these things down. So I just watched that. And we were giving away some, like, doing an Easter outreach, giving eggs to kids in our Kentucky location. We got a call, and they told us if we gave an egg to a kid in the name of Jesus, they would shut our church down.
Wow.
And our people from that campus in Owensboro, Kentucky, are looking across the road, and the McDonald's is sticking French fries in a cardboard box. Some 16-year-old is shoveling fries in, handing them out a window. Liquor stores doing drive-through service across the way. Banks are having to cash out, but our church can't give an egg in the name of Jesus. And something blew in me, Pastor Shane, a fuse blew that I haven't been able to find a replacement for, because I could see what's at stake here. Mm-hmm. The very thing that makes America America is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the church. Mm-hmm. We have an America because doors of a church house were open. Now they're closing the doors. Well, they're not just trying to close the doors on you. They're not just trying to close the doors on the church. They're trying to close the doors on the voice of God.
Yeah.
Freedom and liberty.
That's right.
And so it's like, I'm not going to have this. I'm opening up. I'm calling every church in America to open their doors. That story went out there. We started calling, hey, people, push back, open doors. And I woke up one morning, a friend called me, said, hey, Pastor, you're on Fox News. And I'm like, it's like 4 a.m. It was Fox and Friends First or something. I'm like, I'm on local Fox. He's like, no. They got your sermon on national Fox right now. And I'm like, holy moly, God save the queen. You know, what's that? What's happening here? So I got up, you know, I'm wiping sleep out of my eyes. I'm like, honey, come here. You got to see this, Jesse. Mm-hmm. And here we are. So 5,000 churches opened up with us.
Wow.
On a back to church Sunday from New York to LA. And got involved preaching that way. And media appearances everywhere. So the narrative in America at first in the lockdowns was freedom of speech,
mm-hmm.
Christian freedom of assembly, right? And then the narrative changed with the George Floyd incident. And then we have cities burning around America. So at that point, we started preaching in riots. Yeah. But that's kind of 2020 in a nutshell for me.
Yeah. They were literally going to every place there was a riot. Pastor Brian and one or two of his other leaders were going into these riots on the streets in the middle of the riots, if I'm telling it right.
Oh, yeah.
And preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel. Encounter any super dangerous situations?
Yeah, like every 7 minutes. So it was one of my pastors that is the campus pastor of our Owensboro, Kentucky location, mm-hmm. Pastor Jordan Chrisley, went with me everywhere. We went to the first, it was right after, do you remember the real insurrection happened? Do you remember when BLM was storming the gates of the White House?
Yeah.
Y'all remember that night?
Yeah.
They've kind of washed that from history. Yeah,
everybody wants to forget about that.
You won't see that footage anymore, but these guys are like thinking about
burning down state government buildings in Oregon.
Oh, insane, right? Yeah, yeah. I remember watching these guys like trying to get over the fence in the White House, and I'm fearing for their lives. I'm praying. Like, yeah. God, don't let them get over that fence, because we understand the kind of hell that can be unleashed.
Yeah.
If you get too close to that White House, right? I'm like, I mean, you can't mow all these people down, but what do you do? So the day after that happened, we get an airplane ticket in the morning, next morning, fly to D.C., and we're going in there to preach. God spoke to me and said that pastors can't stay in their green rooms and in their offices, that we have to be where the drama and the trauma is happening.
That's so good.
Right. And when there's drama and trauma, you show up. We're men of peace.
That's right.
We have a gospel of peace.
Yeah.
And when we show up, I believe there's just a supernatural element. Peace infuses the atmosphere. So we're driving in, and this is how committed Pastor Jordan is to the gospel, and a friend of mine. He's like, hey, if we get in here and people get mad at us, you know, it was tense time in America. If somebody starts trying to, they're beating us or trying to kill us, do we fight or do we let them beat us? I'm like, we got kids to raise, man. We fight, we run. We're not dying today, brother. Yeah. So we preached, prayed for people everywhere, and the receptivity was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pastor Shane.
Yeah.
So people were hurting. They got, there are people there that are paid to push a narrative. Right.
Talk about that a little bit, because that was something that you would share with me often. You would tell me you were meeting actually paid protesters that were there. You know, they didn't even know. Some of them didn't even know why they were there. They were just there to raise all kinds of Cain and cause trouble, but didn't even know what they were doing.
Yeah, there are people that are there simply paid to raise Cain. Right? You're exactly right. Bricks just show up.
Yeah.
To break
by the truckload in some cases. Yeah.
Oh, hey, the brick ferry showed up last night and dropped a 2-ton load of bricks out,
you know,
there.
You're like, the look, ferry. There's a pallet of bricks. There's windows. I'm putting two and two together here.
Hey, something's telling me to break these windows with these bricks. I'll tell you what, I would get on planes to go preach in these places.
Yeah.
Early on in the pandemic, I flew hundreds of thousands of miles in 2020. But you're getting on that plane, and a lot of times it would be me, the pilot, the staff, and then Antifa and BLM paid protesters.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We're going to the same place. And they're in their, you know, their black block starter kit. You know, you right. can tell who's who, right? I'm like, oh, I saw you at CHOP last week. I mean, we fly everywhere together.
Yeah.
I'm the preacher, and they're the guys tearing stuff down. We're on the same planes.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're paying their tickets to fly them around.
Have any conversations with those guys in the airports? Or?
Not really in the airports. I mean, just casual high and by on the street all the time, all the time, because you're out there in the middle of it. But yeah, they're paid, and a lot of the people are paid to show up and do stuff, and they're just collecting a paycheck. The money's coming, right?
Yeah.
And it's not that they're that committed to that cause. Now, there are certain narratives they're paid to push.
Right.
There are words they want to make you say. So, like, I would never say Black Lives Matters. Right.
Right.
Because that is a political statement.
Right.
It's not a statement of the value of a race or a person or an ethnicity. Right. It is a political movement sent to divide a nation.
And I think that's been proven. They've raised all these millions of dollars and hasn't given it to anybody, or haven't given it to anybody that needed it.
Yeah, BLM means buy large mansions.
Exactly.
That's what they did.
Yeah, that is
right?
What they did.
And now, I mean, all that's come out now. Buy large mansions, right? That thing was put together by a group of women that hate the nuclear family, right? Same-sex orientation,
right?
Hate traditional American values, want to see the end of the American nuclear family, have a Marxist ideology, also are rooted in a certain type of African witchcraft, folklore,
right?
Religion. It's a pagan religion, too. They also practice. So yes, it's a political organization, and it's simply sent to divide and conquer.
Right.
But a lot of the people on the street have real pain and have been through some real racial issues.
Right.
Right. I'm not minimizing that, and I can see from their perspective, if you do have some pain and you have had some racial issues, how a voice like that could seem empowering.
And stir you up.
Yeah, it would stir you up. So I don't want to minimize that emotion or what they are, but or what anybody's been through, or their pain, or their suffering, but if you look and think about what this is sent to do, it's to take the pain of a people group,
right,
and use it to manipulate a political situation.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is it's the electrical impulse going to the C4,
right?
And they're
right.
working that,
yeah.
And
yeah.
that's what you do when you want to topple a government or a nation,
right?
People don't understand that we've been manipulating governments and people groups and emotions for generations.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This is nothing new. We've been doing this a long time.
We've been doing it a long time. There are men that they've spent their whole life toppling regimes around the world.
Yeah.
So why don't you take that skill set when the time is right and re-engineer your own nation the way you want to?
Hasn't every time we've done that in another country just resulted in unmitigated disaster, though?
Absolutely.
In the Middle East, in Asia, in South America. I mean, it's never worked. So what's going to happen here other than complete chaos? And the other thing that really, really hits me about that and about the real agenda is not the stated agenda, of course. We know that. The real agenda is the Marxist agenda. It's not to benefit any people group. It's to get power consolidated where they want it, right?
Absolutely.
But part of it is, for it to work, we have to have dumbed down the education system beforehand. So in my opinion, this is something that's been decades in the making. It really has been decades in the making, because you had to be able to convince people that the racial issues are worse than they've ever been, when in actuality, the 60s was a lot worse. The 50s was a lot worse than that. The 20s was a lot worse. The immediate antebellum era was a lot worse than it is right now. But you had to convince people that it's never been this bad. We have a friend in Louisiana. She's African-American. And after the George Floyd, after he was killed, she literally would not let her son out on the street because she was afraid the police would gun him down. And I said to her, sister, you live in a city that's 67% African-American and 80% of the police force is African-American. They're not about to gun down your kid. But she believed the narrative. She fully believed the narrative. And it was shocking to me. This is an intelligent person.
Yeah.
But they were able to sell that.
Absolutely. It's you look at this and you're playing on someone's fear.
Mm-hmm.
Without a shadow of a doubt, race relations are better now than they've ever been before. Now they're worse because of the narrative.
Right.
But I'm just saying the situation is better. But if you want to play that, you want to keep that going. You know the majority of people that die at the hands of police officers, unarmed men, that die at the hands of police officers. You know statistically who it is, right?
Yeah.
It's me and you.
It's Caucasian. Yeah.
It's white guys, right? Not even Pastor Shane, because he looks more Native American than he does white.
he has more Cherokee than I am.
He has more Cherokee. It's me and you.
Yeah.
And it's probably, I don't know what it is. Is this poor, cranked up whites? Possibly. The narrative's there, and you want to use that, and you want to destroy that, and one of the most of divide and conquer works.
Well, the truth is there is injustice on every level, at every side.
There
and
is.
If I really wanted to make an issue, then I could get on that injustice and ride that horse and divide people, but all right, so let's do this. I want to fast forward a little bit because you went through all of those riots. I mean, it started with Pastor Brian, and I remember this, very distinctly, him flying all over the nation, encouraging churches to open up. And then you guys had a Sunday where you opened churches, and 5,000 churches all over the nation opened back up. That thrust you into a little bit of the political spotlight. You've been, and then you were out on these streets and you're speaking out even in the middle of these riots. I mean, you're speaking out, and then news organizations started picking up kind of the story and, talking about you and what you were doing. And tell us a little bit about that. So I know you've been on probably every news outlet out there.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
I've been on a lot of news outlets and been on a lot of the, sometimes you got to ask yourself, how many good news outlets are there? That's right. The question.
Are there good ones?
Yeah, are there good ones? That's the question. I think you can trust Shane Warren's YouTube. That's what I think you can trust.
But, sometimes.
I've been on, a bunch of times, Fox, Newsmax all the time. Did a lot of One America's Voice. I had continual hit pieces written about me from, New York Times, Right Wing Watch, Rolling Stone, you name it. The stuff keeps coming. At first it's just a voice for First Amendment rights. Yeah. And that's my primary national message.
Right.
My message is the church matters, mm-hmm. right? America didn't build the church. The church built America.
Right.
And it's the freedom, the foundation that flows out of the Word of God, came out of the pulpits all over early America, that set us up to have the greatest constitution that's ever been written.
Mm-hmm.
Best form of government that's been written in a fallen world, right?
Right.
We have it right here. And is it 100% perfect? No, not saying that. But I've went around the planet a bunch of times, right, preaching the gospel. America is a great place.
Yes, it is. Amazingly, it still is.
Yeah, it is amazingly still a wonderful place, even with all the division we have today and the problems we have today.
Yeah.
We are doing very well in America.
God really blessed the founders of the nation with a lot of wisdom in how they penned these documents to put restraints on the fallen nature of man in destroying governments. I mean, it's not that we can't see a demise. I think any nation that forgets God can see a demise, but any other form of government would have already imploded.
It would have been gone a long time ago.
So in the middle of these hit pieces, all you know, being on news and all of that, now politicians start calling you and saying, hey, we want you to come speak at rallies and events. And so now you're traveling around. You find yourself thrust on these things. I remember you on something called the Trump Train, which was I guess for about 6 months, leading all the way up to the November 2020 election, correct?
Yeah.
The presidential election. You were going and speaking at rallies. What were you doing at those rallies? Because everybody thinks you were there doing one thing, but you were actually there doing something. Tell people what you were doing at those rallies.
My message when I'm at those rallies is my message is really twofold, right? The value of the church, number one. We need the church. Only the church can save America. And the second thing I do is at these rallies is I preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Like a Billy Graham style evangelical, you must be born again.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I see more people born again speaking at these kind of rallies than I do anywhere else in America.
Right.
Wow. I did it last, where was I last week? I can't
remember. But the secular media would spin it as you were there to stir up the MAGA crowd.
I'm stirring up the MAGA crowd. I'm a radical white Christian nationalist. What do they call me? Christo-fascist. You name it. They will label you these. They make up names to put on us. That I'm just there to cause trouble. I'm there to stir up the crowd to acts of violence.
Yeah.
And it's all a spin. The truth of the matter is this, is that I've never, the violent crowds,
yeah.
If you want to see real violence and real, real tough stuff happen, wherever I went where the left was riding and Antifa and BLM, in those deals, people got hurt.
Yeah.
Things were tore down.
Like what kind of things did you see?
Oh, I saw a guy ride by on a bicycle right beside me. Me and my wife were walking in D.C. I mean, you needed to have security. Once you were on a stage, you needed security with you. I don't know that I could go to D.C. today if I don't have people with me.
Right.
Right? I mean, you're a target. Like, I'm walking through the crowd, and here comes a guy on a bicycle. He's got a massive bike lock. There's just a random woman walking down the street, about 35 years old. He takes a bike lock, hits her as hard as he can in the back of the head. Dude, she goes straight down on her face, knocks her silly. Jesse goes to grab her, and I take off.
Jesse's his wife.
My wife. You know, she's helping him, and I just take off after the guy because you're not going to hit a little woman in the head with a bike lock and me do nothing.
Texas and Kentucky came out.
Yeah. Tennessee would have come out and you, right? Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, this woman's just walking here.
Texas, we have the expression, he needed killing.
It's a valid legal defense. Whatever's coming, right? Yeah. He asked for it. So we take off running after him, and some other guys got a better pursuit angle. Yeah. By the time I get to him, they're tuning him up. But it was just violence and intimidation. I'm telling you.
But it's everything they're accusing us of.
It's everything they accuse. That's always what the radical leftist does. It's always what the Marxist has done. You look through history.
It's always what the Marxist has done.
Always project on their enemy.
And it's what the fascist does.
That's right. What they are.
Yeah.
That's the play.
Yeah.
That's the play. You are intolerant.
And if you want to know who are the fascists, last week CNN said on national broadcast that political violence is a uniquely right-wing thing, that no Democrat or left-wing person has ever committed any violence due to politics, which is pretty much exactly the opposite of reality.
100%. Well, it's the oldest play in the world.
Well, gas prices aren't high, and there's no such thing
as
inflation.
Yeah, it's always been $5.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Gas has always been $5.
So let me ask you this question, Pastor. How did it affect your life personally? And I know you got in this for one thing.
Oh, yeah.
It ended up going into other areas. What kind of hit did you take personally? How did it affect your life personally? Because what people think is, people think that when you get that kind of platform, that popularity comes with it, all the money comes with it, and you're out there doing it for money, fame, and fortune. That's what they think. What happened?
Yeah, I never took a dime for anything like that I did. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it cost tons of money. And here's what happened at the end of it. I'm preaching, speaking these things. I put together a prayer rally and have gospel speakers, right, in a plaza there in D.C. on January the 5th. And it was a great crowd. I mean, I had tens of thousands of people there, preached the gospel to them. Probably saw the largest one-time altar call ever in the history of my ministry, especially in America. Thousands of people got born again.
Like, right? Wow. How many you think?
Right in front of us. I'd say somewhere, it's hard to count a crowd like that, but like I hear numbers 5,000 to 7,000 right there. That's in front awesome. Of me. But a million people watching online through different news outlets, right? They're watching us.
So who knows how many?
Who knows? But we're preaching the gospel. I've got pro-life voices up on stage talking about life, all sorts of pastors, people praying. I mean, it was like church. We did church right in the middle of D.C. on January the 5th. And we're praying for the future of America. All right, well, the 6th rolls around and happens. Nobody sees that coming. Nobody knows what's coming on the 6th, right? Except maybe.
I feel like the CIA.
Maybe somebody knew, but none of us
know. The FBI definitely knew. Yeah, they had informants embedded.
Informants everywhere. And looking back, there's a lot of telltale signs. It's like, holy moly, they've done this before somewhere, right? Somebody has done this
before. Not their first radio.
It's not they're not operating with training wheels.
No. Okay, so.
So after the 5th, though, the 6th rolls around, Pastor Shane.
Yeah.
And, of course, all hell breaks loose, right?
And you were there speaking.
Yeah, I was speaking on the 5th, and then on the 6th, myself and another pastor were supposed to be praying when President Trump was speaking that morning.
Right.
We got cut, whatever. That didn't happen, and I'm kind of thankful for that now, right?
But
it is what it is. We were all there with good intentions. We're there as people praying for our country. We're there to stand up for our political beliefs, right? This is a nation where we can do that. So the 6th happens, they pull down the gates, they wave the mobs on in, and stupid people got riled up and did stupid things too. I'm not excusing that. I believe...
So let's go back. You're saying they let people in?
Oh, yeah. There's a guy named Ray Epps.
Yeah.
Has anybody heard of this man named Ray Epps?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, Ray Epps was on, like, the FBI wanted list. Who is this man? Then all of a sudden, he disappears off the FBI wanted list. Well, they won't answer questions about him whenever they're sworn in and the leaders of the FBI are being asked questions. Who is this Ray Epps? I'm trying to think of who did the questioning on that. I've seen the videos. They won't answer it. Well, it's pretty obvious he's some sort of agent. He's somebody that was riling up the crowd. The night before, they had people like that stirring it up. And then you see places where the cops there, Capitol Police, are waving the people in. Then they're standing at the door letting them in. And now there were guys breaking windows. Well, I'll tell you, there were lots of guys that are Antifa dressed that start putting on MAGA gear, hidden under the trees. We have video of that now. There's all sorts of footage that's been suppressed.
Yeah.
And the true story hasn't come out. I've got a friend that's a very tall friend that was standing up there. Now, you couldn't get a car anywhere down there in D.C.
Right.
And saw buses full of guys with gas masks and tactical gear pull up. Somehow they got a car back there, buses back there, unloading, and these guys go up and start breaking windows and tearing stuff up.
Wow.
So now...
And you weren't even there. You were in the hotel room.
No, I was in the hotel room. Somebody called me. I was freezing. It was so cold. I had holes in my boots. I'd walked the soles off my boots. I've been out preaching. Like, I've been on the road forever preaching. I could not wait for that day to be over, for me to go to bed. And my feet were wet, and I go up and I got my feet in water, and we're in the hotel room, and I get a call later, sitting there trying to unthaw. And they're like, Pastor, something's happened at the Capitol. And I'm like, well, what in the world's up? And they're like, people are going inside the Capitol. I'm like, nah, man, that can't be right. And I turn on the TV, and me and Jesse are like, well, they are. And so I put on my tennis shoes and walked up there to see what was happening from a distance. And you could see what was happening there. So when you're watching from the TV, you're seeing just the stuff happening right up at the doors.
Right.
Right.
There's a million people there for this thing.
Yeah.
Think about that. A million people. That's
And you're seeing 10.
That's right. There's a million people there. Think about it. You've just unloaded like the Louisville Metro. Mm-hmm. It's about 1 million people. Tulsa, Oklahoma metro, 1 million people into this city. And they got a shot. These are little grandmothers out there singing gospel hymns and people praying everywhere in a picnic type environment.
Yeah.
And all they're showing you is, you know, whatever.
Eight idiots.
Yeah, it's the squabble you're going to have. And everybody, you get 1 million people together, you're going to have some idiots on both sides of the ball.
That's right.
Left and right. There's going to be plenty of idiots in 1 million people. So they try to take that narrative and push it on everybody there. There's this million-man mob of angry Sunday school teaching grandmothers, right, that have gotten off of their organ. They play at church, and they've come to overthrow your democracy. What? It's laughable.
Yeah.
If you were going to have an insurrection,
yeah,
would you go up there with a commander in a ferret hat with some horns and his chest painted without any weapons?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to do that.
You're not going to take over a capital like that. They let them in.
Well, and it's also just a miracle, or maybe it's not a miracle, that all these people weren't shot and weren't killed. And so anyway, you know, I mean, it's just a miracle all that stuff's going on. But so let me ask you a question on this, because I had and there's people that are like, the chat room is blowing up right now. But if you're in there and you want to ask Pastor Brian a question, if you'll maybe super chat, if you could do that even, we would appreciate that. But you don't have to do that. If you'll ask a question, we'll try to do our best to answer that question. So you saw all this stuff developing on the Capitol, then what? I mean, you take off running for the hills, huh?
Well, we stand there and kind of see what happens. Then it's like, okay, this is going Here's the rule in D.C. Mm-hmm. You got big political stuff going in D.C. You need to get out of there before the sun goes down.
Right.
Bad things happen when the sun goes down.
Yeah.
Like, I preached a ton down BLM Plaza, those type places, and people get hurt when the sun goes down.
That's right.
Right? So I'm always if I see people around that don't know the drill,
yeah,
I'm always like, hey guys, listen, that sun's going to go down over that building in about 15 minutes. You need to be back in your hotel room.
Yeah.
And don't you come down to this area, because these people are going to tune you up. So it's like, hey, let's get out here. Let's go back. I'm thinking, you know, what's this going to be?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew the media is going to spin this in a bad direction. All right. Well, I get home, and within the next week or two, I think it was 1,400 death threats. People broke into my house, threatened to kill my children and wife.
I thought you got all kinds of fame and fortune from this.
Yes, fame and fortune, yeah. Right?
That's what preachers get. That's the reason we do what we do, is for the money.
Yeah, we do what we do because the money's so incredible, so right, okay. Pastor Shane?
Yeah, that's right.
Because none of us could figure out how to do anything else.
That's
this
right.
is all we could do. No, it costs money. It costs time. I had to sell a home, relocate. Had to have spec ops security with me for a period of time.
Mm.
I mean, it got hairy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say too much, but it got down to like,
yeah,
am I getting out of this room alive a couple times?
Yeah.
It really did. And it followed around for a while. So it was danger to me, danger to my family. Antifa's shown up at my church multiple times. We're there within the last few months at one location. So, yeah.
Even your local city writing hit pieces on you in the newspaper.
Yeah, everybody goes after you.
And people leaving your church because they think that you've lost, you know, that it's too much heat for them. They can't handle it. You know, they don't know what to do.
Yeah. Even people that know that the narrative's not right.
Yeah.
The heat comes on.
Right.
And there are a lot of people, like you say, they can't handle that kind of heat. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they take off. It takes money. It takes time. Then you end up, you know, you other legal fees and other things come after you.
Sure.
So, like, stuff keeps coming.
Yeah.
J6 committee, FBI calling you.
Yeah.
It's like, I got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
I preach the gospel. I stand up for the First Amendment. You know what I am. And this is where it's at.
It's not like they hadn't checked you out by now anyway.
They already know. By the time they call you, they know everything.
So are you glad you got involved?
Well, people say, when did you make a decision to get involved in this? And I'm like, I never had a chance. I don't have a chance. I don't make decisions like that.
Right.
This isn't what I choose to do. This is what I must do.
Right.
Because if they're coming after First Amendment rights of Americans and the rights of the church to freely assemble and to worship and to speak our mind and say what we do, how can any decent Christian man or leader
mm-hmm.
not speak up? And the fact that it became a national issue is just, I don't know, hand of God, luck of the draw. What is it? You know?
Yeah.
So, so Fox picked it up and it went nationally. But there were lots of guys like me that did the same thing.
Yeah.
But they didn't, you know, end up in the national mix.
Right.
Same heart, same spirit, good men.
Yeah.
Good women that said this isn't right and they're going to stand up. And it just happened. God chose us for that reason for a season. The gospel's preached, and I'll say the church's essential message.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did start to permeate, and we got to be a piece of pushing that message to remind America that our First Amendment rights are important.
And now a lot of evidence has come forward over time. A lot of facts have actually starting to make it to the forefront to find out, hey, we were right all along. We were standing on the right side of the equation all along. People like you and mutual friend Greg Locke is, you know, just took beatings on different things, you know, and Greg's much more stirs up vocal than you are. I love it. But, you know, if you don't have somebody that'll stand for liberty, tyranny's going to take over. And somebody's got to make the stand. All right, so let's fast forward a little bit. So I know now you're still preaching the gospel. Now you're still speaking at some Reawake America rallies and things of that nature. Now we've got Trump has thrown his hat back in the arena for the 2024 election. And where do you see all this playing out? What's coming down the pipe?
Well,
I know it's a loaded question.
Let me just
that's the reason I want you to answer.
Let me get out my crystal ball and unpack all this for you right now. I think we all knew Trump was going to throw his hat in the ring, right?
Obviously,
he's Trump, and that part of you know what he's going to do, and he's coming after it.
Yeah,
and he's a take no prisoner kind of guy, is what made him in so many different areas of life,
right?
And made us love him in the first place, right? Because listen, I'm a Trump guy.
Yeah.
I love President Trump. I appreciate what he did for the nation. Is he a perfect man? Absolutely not. Is he a perfect picture of Christian virtue? Absolutely not. Is he one of us? I don't know. But he was for us.
Yeah, he was for
us. Right?
Yeah.
And so he was for us. And the other side is definitely not for us.
That's right.
Right? It's like doesn't matter what how can you back a party?
Yeah.
That it's like, can we kill the babies?
Cyrus the Great wasn't a Jew, but he was for them, rebuilding the temple.
He did it, didn't he?
Yeah, and so, you know, I mean, you got to, the choices, if you line them all up and the choices are up there, who's the guy that's going to be for us following the call of God and doing what God's called us to do?
And even beyond that, I think one thing people lose sight of is there is no option of nobody getting the job. Somebody's getting the job.
Yeah.
So get in there and do your part to make sure it's at worst the least bad guy.
Yeah.
At minimum.
So what's your crystal ball telling you? What's going to happen here?
Well, let's say this. You got to think about this. Am I going to go with the guy on the right? Or am I going to go with the guy that wants abortion, that wants chemical castration for children?
Yeah.
That wants the drag queen storybook hour? Right? I mean, how do you back that? You got to go over here, right? Like you say, well, so Trump throws his hat in the ring. Here we are. Now, there are forces out there that hate this man so bad. They've spent years trying to destroy him.
All of them loved him.
They all loved
until
him.
Until 2016.
That's right.
Everybody loved him until 2016. Every one of them, because he was giving them money.
That's right. They were all mm-hmm. for him. He was great. He was just a media guy and a business guy. 2016 changed everything, right?
That's right.
And so then they all turned on him, and they've spent from the beginning, right? Obama tried to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
The Clintons tried to destroy him. The FBI's tried to destroy him. The GOP has tried to destroy him.
His own party.
His own party. You know, everybody's been at him. So now you have so many enemies incensed around him, there's another set of issues, right? Yeah. So it's like, you got to look at this, no matter who you love or back, is he electable?
Yeah.
Right? And so whoever gets the nomination when it comes around, I'm for him. Right now we have infighting on the right, mm-hmm. GOP, MAGA, all of these kind of crews. There's a lot of infighting. We have a lot of issues. People are trying to create a narrative. And I think it's been played into a little bit, unfortunately, where there's this Trump beef with DeSantis and DeSantis beef with Trump. I want to keep them all the fight.
Yeah,
exactly.
I want to keep them all in the fight, and I want to stop the infighting because we have bigger issues right now. We have a Marxist issue. We have a globalist issue.
Yeah.
We have a one world rising order issue.
We got a world war issue.
We got world war issue. We got currency issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, did you know they just started the pilot program in America for the global bank digital currency, programmable currency,
mm-hmm.
digital dollar? That says what you can spend it on, where you can spend it on.
Sounds like the mark of the beast.
Sounds like the mark of the beast. Looks mm-hmm. a lot like the Chinese social credit score, right? Where if you're a good little citizen, you get to spend, you get to travel, you get that. Yeah. If you uncover something in the government and you're a reporter,
yeah.
you don't get to travel, you're cut off.
Can't go to school. Can't get the best jobs. Yep.
It's over. So we got a lot of issues. We don't need to be fighting. We don't need a cage match between Trump and DeSantis.
Right.
No. Right.
We don't need that. We need them. We don't need them killing each other.
And we don't need rhinos like Mitch McConnell and others taking Republican conservative money and giving it to Democrats to get them elected instead of getting somebody that stands on the conservative side of things just because they're for a certain person or not, whether that's Trump, DeSantis, or anybody. At some point, the party's got to come together, or you know, there's got to be another party. A third party.
What I see with the
third party is death for a long time. Though.
Yeah. And one of the things that really is concerning me about Trump in 2024 is not that I don't think he could have a great run, especially with his agenda, you know, what he stands for, his policies. But the thing that is concerning me is what if you get this situation where you have a DeSantis running as a Republic, the Republicans are so mad at Trump, they force him out. Trump tries to do a third party. Now we have a Ross Perot situation where we split the vote, and you can't get, with the vote split, you can't get a Republican elected. And so there's got to be a unity that somehow or another, you know, and I don't know how that's going to come, but there's got to be something that happens in the Republican Party.
We already had the vote split this month. I mean, just in the midterm election.
Yeah, the midterm
we had
elections
multiple races with 1 percentage point between the Democrats and the Republicans and a Libertarian getting 2%. Yep. So, I mean, I'm thinking well, about this.
And you have races where Republican leadership is sending funds to the opposite party.
Funding the other party.
Yeah. I mean, who would have ever thought that? And the only reason they're funding the other party is because it's a MAGA supported.
Well, we got to, candidate. I mean, to look at it from their perspective, you know, to the Liz Cheney's and the Mitch McConnell's and all that group, Trump is the death of their country, right? The death of their way of life. But the thing is, they don't live in the same country you and I live in. They live in an insulated little political bubble. They're the ruling class. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They have armed guards. They do the whole spiel. That's the country that they don't want destroyed. It's not the one that you and I and 300-something other million people live in.
So what's your response to, because there's a whole group of people that are going to listen, thousands of people that will watch this, and then tens of thousands of people on podcasts that will download. They're hearing this conversation, three white guys sitting sure. at a table, and they're hearing us talking about politics, and we're
two white guys in a Cherokee. Let's ride what we got. Let's work with what we got.
Hey,
here,
I'm like
right?
an eighth.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're hearing us, and they're saying Christians shouldn't even be talking like this. Christians shouldn't even be involved in the political arena. What would you say to that?
You're brainwashed.
Yeah.
You've been lied to. You took it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
Your ideology is destroying America.
Wow.
Shut up. You know, I'll double down on this stuff. right, because here's the deal. That ideology has brought America to where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christians shouldn't talk about this. Come on. Christian pastors made America.
Yeah.
Then we preached out all of the concepts that we have in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Then we were the news outlet forever in the church. We preached Election sermons, right, Pastor
Shane?
Election
sermons.
Telling you what candidates would be good for the church and were moral and godly and right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your idea that the church, you wouldn't, there would be no America.
Be no Constitution, no Bill of Rights.
None of it.
None of that.
If it weren't for guys like us that spoke up politically. It is impossible to be prophetic and to not be political, right? You look through the scriptures. I mean, go back to the beginning. What is the prophet comes in and prophesies against King David, right?
Right.
Think of what did Herod die for? Or Herod killed John the Baptist.
Right.
Because he said it's not lawful to have your brother's wife. He prophesied against political power. It cost him his head. Jesus prophesied to four different political parties, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Zealots. A lot of his messages were targeted towards
That's
him.
That's so good. That's
if you
so
understand
good.
Yeah. it in the historical context. Paul, right, appeals to his citizenship.
Yeah.
Right, gets political in Rome. Mm-hmm. He keeps appealing to Rome.
Yeah.
All of the apostles were political. You get in governments and start working with power. The powers, there's things you got to do. If you want to shape a nation, you have to get a hold of the thought and the process and the philosophy and the politics and the ethics. And to think that the church shouldn't be involved in that is the height of stupidity.
That's right.
I don't know what else to say. So the guys that say that, it's like, you're so uneducated and uninformed.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even have a seat at this table because you're like Haiti going to war with the United States of America. You know so little. Mm-hmm. About the ground you're talking about. Can you tell I'm passionate about this? I mean, it's like, because they don't know we're losing the battle.
Yeah.
Because of that ideology.
Right.
Pastor Shane.
That's right.
And it's crept into our schools.
Yeah.
Right. Our kids are coming in, having to figure out if they're a boy or a girl, or now you can be an animal if you want to.
Yeah.
Right. You're a furry, you're a squirrel, bring your own tree, climb up it in class and hang out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
put your
like,
litter box in the corner.
Your litter box and a water bowl like a dog. I mean, all of that came because we got silent about politics.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the left didn't. They have an ideology, too.
Yeah.
They have a religion, too.
Yeah.
And their religion
is... It is a religion.
It is a religion.
It's a religion.
And the difference is they want to shape the country. Too many Christians just don't care, think everything will be fine, and just don't want to get involved, don't want to spend their time on it. But the people who are destroying the country want to destroy the country. That's their goal. They're working at it diligently. If Christians would work at it, even a little, yeah, we might make some progress.
Connor in the chat room is asking a question for you. What's the next step for you, Pastor, and what would you suggest for the church?
Well, the next step for me is really like politically, or I guess if I'm talking about me personally, a good pastor friend of mine, Pastor Shane Warren, he said this to me, right? I'm in the midst of this fight. I'm in the midst of all of this. And he came over to Amarillo. Pastor Shane showed up the first day I came back to the pulpit when I had all the death threats. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you and love you.
Yeah.
And I want the people to know what kind of man you are. He left his church and came to Owensboro. And when I got in, I had to fly in from an undisclosed location where I was under security and all that. I fly in because I'm not letting somebody drive me out of my pulpit. So I went to where the biggest threats were coming to, and I went to that church and preached in that pulpit in Owensboro. When I got there, Pastor Shane was there. He left his church, came to be with me, just say love me and supported me, and sat on the front row with me, and I'll never forget that. Yes. As long as I live, I appreciate you. So, but in the midst of all that, that kept going, and I've heard Pastor Shane say this a bunch of times, is that we do have to be involved in politics. We do have to have a voice, right? Mm-hmm. But politics alone are not going to save America.
That's right.
Yeah. It's not going to save it, right? Yeah. Democrats certainly aren't going to save it. Republicans can't save it.
Yeah.
Third party won't save it. There's one Savior that can save America. His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on.
And we desperately need a revival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as far as the news outlet goes and the media goes, so many of these things are bought, manipulated, right, left, and in between. All mm-hmm. of the media world.
Yeah.
It's the prince of the power of the air, the devil. Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Has its hooks in the media, right? I got
pharmacopoeia being the Greek word for witchcraft.
That's right. 100%. And that's what the book of Revelation says, the world will be deceived, right? Mm-hmm. By their pharmakeia, by the witchcraft. So the Big Pharma runs the media, runs your stations you love. Fox? Big Pharma runs Fox.
Yeah.
Don't think it doesn't. Newsmax? I got dinged for making accurate scientific statements on Newsmax. They apologized for what Pastor Brian Gibson said. It's his views, not theirs. You know why they apologized?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Funding. Right? So the right wing is just as guilty of it media as the left wing. So I don't trust media to save America. Right?
That's right.
So we, yes, we have to have a voice in politics. Yes, we need to have a voice in the media. But it's not going to save it. All of that's corrupted. Be there. What really is going to save the world is the church. So for me, I think the most pressing issue for me is raising up young leaders.
Yeah.
Right? Young voices that will take the football and run with it, that'll be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, bold as lions, to go into, to, I'll borrow a, borrow a statement from the chancellor of my university, Oral Roberts, going to every man's world. So for me, it's about leaders,
yeah.
Whether they're kings, whether they're priests, whether they're
that's
prophets.
That's right.
Right? We got to have them in every.
We got to have them everywhere.
We got to have them everywhere. And there's guys like us that I think the best use of our years coming forward could be making that next generation of those kind of voices.
I agree.
Because there's fewer of them than we should have, yeah. Pastor Shane.
Yeah.
There really is.
Yeah, we're losing a generation in the church. So our young people, well, and to be honest, this right here is controlling their narrative, you know, and their ideologies. Everything they believe is coming from this right here, or from a television set. And we're losing them. And the only way, we just got to have a move of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy, it reminds me of Zechariah. You know, Zechariah came at a time when he's royalty. And so now he's supposed to go before the existing royalty that's contrary, a royalty of another nation of which he's a captive. And he's supposed to go and say, hey, let me go back and rebuild the temple. You got Ezra, you know, Ezra's a priest and Nehemiah, that's all good and well. They're spiritual folks, but Zechariah is the royal guy. So the worst thing you want to do is have another person of political power who's from a different kingdom rise up and overthrow you, right? And so now Zechariah is coming. And so Zechariah, it dawns on Zechariah. And Zechariah realizes that money can't fix his problem. It can't get that temple rebuilt. The military can't do it because they're slaves in a foreign land. Yeah. He realizes he is at the end of the rope, and here he is, an opposing political party to a reigning king who could have him killed in any moment. And the Lord's response to Zechariah was, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that is exactly where America is. Nothing is going to fix this situation. I was watching the other night as Trump was getting ready to make his speech, and they were yelling, drain the swamp, drain the swamp, drain the swamp. Well, I've got news for you. Trump can't drain the swamp. Nobody is powerful enough to drain the swamp. The corruption is too deep and too thick for anybody to drain it. But a move of the Holy Spirit can turn the hearts of a generation toward the fathers and fathers toward the children, and God do a work, and then God can drain the swamp, you know. God can convict the sinners that are in the swamp. God could do a work. And so that's in my mind, that's the only thing I see that is the only saving hope for America. If not, we're headed down a path like Rome and others, and destruction's right around the corner for us. We're at that place right now. So anyway, let's see. Got any other questions? Joshua is saying that only New Zealand and the United States allow pharmaceutical companies to do ads on TV.
That's right.
That is correct.
I didn't know that.
Also, in the European Union, lawyers are not allowed to advertise.
I didn't know that.
So you think just between those two things, how much, I mean, their cost of living is terrible because of other reasons and because they have a 55% minimum tax rate. But just on that front, that probably makes a lot of things a lot easier because you don't have malpractice insurance isn't as expensive and yada, yada, so on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, we're about at the end of our time. I want to give you the last few minutes here, and you can take your time on this. We don't have to quit at an exact time, but if you could leave the people with anything that's been in your heart, maybe what God has been speaking to you in this season or what you've learned from this that you feel like the Lord wants you to say, that's something that is just burning in your bosom, just take a moment and share with the people what you felt like maybe the word of the Lord is you know, in this season.
Yeah, we're in perilous times right now, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
And everything that can be shaken has been shaken or will be shaken.
That's right.
And we need the righteous, to rise up and be as bold as a lion in this hour. I really believe this. Jesus is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist said that as soon as he saw Jesus walking towards him, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus is a Lamb, all right? I'm thankful. He died for my sins. I've repented of him, called on his name. I'm forgiven because of the shed blood of Jesus. But Jesus is not just a Lamb, right? He's not just a Lamb.
Right.
Right.
And the world has this view of Jesus just as Lamb, just as Savior, just as friend.
Yeah.
He's also a lion.
Yeah.
Right? He's a lion that'll return. He came once as a lamb to die for the sins of the world. He will return as a lion that will execute judgment upon the nations. Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
And whenever he comes back, the Bible calls it the great and the terrible day of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's great for those who are with him. It's terrible for those that are against him or positioned against him. And anyone that's not for him is against him. So I think that obviously we pray for the Lord to come back. We pray for his return. We pray for world evangelism. We pray for revival to turn this world upside down. But we've got to understand that we can't just be the Lamb, right? If Christ is in us and we're to live like Christ and put on Christ, I think wisdom teaches us when to be the Lamb and when to be the Lion.
Yeah.
And there's some of us that are very lion-like. It's easy for us to pop off, to get in there. Mm-hmm. My nature's aggressive.
Yeah.
Right? It just is. I
couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell. I don't really apologize for that either, right?
Right.
A lot of people,
just who you are.
Just who I am. A lot of people are like, well, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. And yes, Jesus said that, but it was probably more like this. That word meek, I heard Jordan Peterson say this recently. He said, it's probably more like those who possess the weapons of war but refuse to unsheath them. Mm-hmm. Will inherit the earth.
Wow.
Weakness is not a moral virtue.
No. Right?
Weakness is just weakness. Being strong but refusing.
Moses was the meekest man of his generation, and he killed a guy when he had enough.
So, yeah. I mean, refusing to use it, right?
Yeah.
Like it's so it's wisdom's going to show me when to be the Lamb. There's a time to shut up.
Yeah.
Sit down, take it. There's a time for Christian men to be martyred.
Yeah.
There's a time for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a time to be the lion.
Yeah.
And so I think those of us that are more lion-like need to learn when to be lamb-like. Those of us that are more lamb-like need to know when to be lion-like.
Yeah.
And I think that's the wisdom of God. That's the balance. That's what we need today. We desperately need a revival. This is not just an American issue, what we're talking about. What's rising on the earth, you are witnessing the rise of the beast system.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what you're witnessing. We're seeing the symptoms of it in America. This is the rise of the beast. Make no mistake about it. This is happening worldwide. It's coming at such a quick acceleration. Prophecies are being fulfilled at an alarming pace.
Mm-hmm.
We're near the end. The hour's getting late. So the spirit of Antichrist is that's why there's so much against the church, so much against natural order, morality. Right? Just the things in the beginning. It's that spirit of Antichrist loose on the earth. So if the spirit of Antichrist is loosed on the earth, I know the spirit of Christ is raising up a standard and an answer against that.
Come on.
So don't think your enemy is stronger than you are. Greater is he who's in you than he that is in the world. Don't ever forget that.
Yeah.
And we win. At the end, we serve the God of the resurrection.
That's right.
We have a resurrected Savior. We have a soon coming King. In this world, you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome
the world. So good. Thank you, Pastor Brian, for being with us tonight and taking time out of your busy schedule to come. I hope you guys have enjoyed this discussion, and thanks for logging in with us. Do me a favor. If you have not yet, make sure that you subscribe to the channel and also that you hit that like button, because both those things helps the algorithm and helps this video. And then thirdly, make sure that you share this video with all of your friends and family and say, hey, you have to listen to this. And that'll help us get this message out to everyone. I want to remind you, Pastor Brian is going to be with us this coming Sunday at the Bend. He's going to be in both the 9 and 11 a.m. services. We would love to have you if you're not don't have a home church. I'm sure the Lord will be using him in the gifts of the Spirit. I've watched him minister all over the country, and I'm just so honored that he is with us. He is a friend, and we have done a lot of life together over the last couple of years, but I'm looking forward to him really impacting your life. So thank you so much again for joining us. We're glad that you have tuned in tonight. We will see you next time. Until next time, do whatever you can do to put the smackdown on stupid.